This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. Here we are. It is sunny. It's 74 degrees. And the Commissioner of Dirt, please stand. He has entered the building.
Oh, he's Mr. Sarcasm all the way down.
Why do you say that?
Because you are. That's all. I just say the truth. Nothing but the truth.
Just reporting the fact that you're here and that the current temperature is 74 degrees.
Yeah, well, I think it's about 92, but you didn't say that.
Wait till tomorrow when it's going to be about 85.
Oh, good. Well, welcome to the show. This is a show where you can listen to me speak for a while, and then if you have a question about your yard, your garden, your trees, your shrubs, whatever, you can call 673-4464, and we'll get you on the air, and you can ask your question, and I will give you the answer.
The answer.
There might be more than one. You never know, but that's the way it is. So, the days are in the spring mode. I mean, today is beautiful, absolutely gorgeous out there. And I believe this is the real thing. It's called spring. And Kyle, for once, was accurate on his weather forecasting.
For once.
And, I'm really proud of him. So, that's a compliment, Kyle. Don't worry. So, what can you do for your yard and garden?
Speaking of sarcasm.
Well, what can you do for your yard and garden? We can bury stuff. But anyway, remember those shrubs and trees are just waking up, and they're pushing new growth in the shape of flowers. There are a lot of flowering trees here in Roseburg and Douglas County. It's amazing how many types of flowering plums, flowering cherries. There's pink ones, white ones, red ones. I mean, it's really gorgeous. This place is loaded with beauty in the spring. I really like it here. And they're also pushing new growth at the time. So what do we need? What do they need for healthy, sustained growth for the season if you have some in your yard? Well, one word or two words, food or fertilizer. Fertilizer is plant food, so you want to get some to them. That way they remain strong and healthy. The root systems are active now and will continue to grow until the heat of summer, whenever that happens. And things will slow down considerably in the days where it gets, 90s and above, that kind of thing. I really don't care for those days, but that's all right. So to get maximum healthy growth, get a good, well-balanced shrub and tree fertilizer and lightly fertilize your lawns, your shrubs, trees, flowers, and any potted plants. Do that now, and this is going to maximize good, healthy growth for you. And you want to fertilize lightly until June, and then stop until like next fall when the rains begin again. And you never know, it might even rain in the summer. I've seen that once or twice, but not very often. And like I say, only buy high quality plant food. Don't get anything that's on sale, 100 pounds for $20 or something like that, because it's not going to do anything for your plants except maybe burn them up or something like that. But and you want them with a slow release component. That means that when the water hits, only a portion of that fertilizer becomes activated into the soil and down into the plant's root system. And then the next time you water it, there's another small percentage of fertilizer that's released from the fertilizer pellets, and it's a long-term thing. And you can get it for shrubs, trees, flowers, lawns. It just depends. And just read the bag when you're looking. If you go to the co-op or one of the big box stores and you're looking at different kinds of fertilizers, read what it says. take 5 minutes and just go through and say, yeah, that's going to work. I think that'll work. And don't, like I say, go overboard. Don't think, well, a handful ought to do well on that rhododendron. Well, yeah, it will. It'll turn the leaves brown and the plant dead. But, you know, fertilize, like, say, lightly until June, and then stop until maybe next fall. Of course, this is almost June. we're getting there. And then next fall when the rains begin, you give them a winter feeding. So they're not going to grow, but what they're going to do is store that fertilizer within the root system. And when it becomes warm again and the plant wakes up in the spring, there's some food ready for it to consume and be healthy right off the bat. So like I say, only buy high-quality plant food that has a slow release component. You don't want like something like triple 16. That's a pasture fertilizer, and you can burn plants up really, really fast with something like triple 16. And also you want to treat your lawn to some fertilizer as well. And a healthy lawn needs fertilizers once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks until the fall starts to cool things down. And then you might give it a good shot so that it's good and strong going into the winter, just in case the winter gets really cold or snowy or anything like that, which we haven't had in quite some time. But like I say, the root systems store that fertilizer, or they don't tap into the fertilizer that's around the root system simply because they don't need it at that point. You're safe to you go. And like I say, the high quality stuff is going to be a few bucks more per bag, but it's going to last longer and do a better job. And you'll be happy with the end results. And for instance, if you have a rhododendron that's say 4 or 5 feet tall and 4 or 5 feet wide, and it's been in your yard for 5, 10 years, whatever, 3/4 of a handful spread around the base of the plant is all it's going to need. You don't want to overdo it. Remember, you can always add more, but once it's there, you cannot take it out and it gets down. And if you put too much, you destroy the viability of the plant. It may die, depending on what you're using, or it just may damage it. But it's not good for that plant. And, weeds begin to show up about now. So, it's still kind of summery out there, and the weeds are still popping out of the ground. So clean your plant beds of all the weeds first, and then fertilize, and then add a little bit of bark mulch to the plant beds. It just kind of preps them for winter, so that as they go into winter, they've got a little bit of bark mulch to insulate them from any super cold temps, and they've got the food too. But before you start watering your watering program, you want to clean those beds. No sense in watering weeds. So just make sure that it's clean, and a good cleanup right now is the best thing to do for your landscape, because it just, as they go into fall and the fall pattern, they're growing, but they're growing really slowly, and the same thing with the weeds, they're growing very slowly too, so you can keep on top of them. And once you've done all the cleanup, you'll be ready to start that vegetable garden. So till up the garden, and this is spring again, till up that garden and add some new bark mulch and some sand and some compost material for the best results, because you want a good draining garden. You don't want just a clay soil type garden. What do you got your finger on the trigger for?
Because we've got a caller. You are on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show.
Hello.
Good afternoon. See, I have a question about my Jack Monty.
Your Jack Monty? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Macaroni Monty.
Yeah.
It's not doing well. It looks like it's about half dead. There's a lot of dead branches at the top, and when the new leaves came out, there's an awful lot of it that isn't blooming, so to speak. Uh-huh. And I notice around town that there's a lot of that happening. Is this unique to them?
Well, no, but how long has it been in the ground?
Oh, 10-12 years.
Oh, 12. Oh, that long. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
So what's your fertilizing and watering? How you doing that? Or is it getting watered?
It's getting watered. I think that it's not getting, maybe that's part of the problem, it's not getting adequate water over the years. But I've put in an in-ground sprinkling system this year, so it's going to be much more consistent. Hopefully that'll snap it out of it.
And how about your fertilizing technique? What are you doing on that?
Just when the lawn is fertilized, it gets fertilized. Nothing special for the tree.
Okay, so the tree is in the lawn.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. And how much of the top is dead, would you say?
I'd say it looks like there's probably about 50%.
50%. And how long has it been in the ground?
10-12 years.
Jeez Louise, have you ever had that problem before, or is this a first-time thing?
It began last year, towards the fall.
Uh-huh.
I noticed a lot of dead limbs in there. And we pruned out some of the dead ones earlier this spring, but that didn't seem to help a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
No, there is some new growth right up here on the one that most of them, for the most part, it's not happy.
Well, I wouldn't give up on it, but I would call a tree surgeon to come in and take out all that dead stuff and prune it back to some good live wood. And like Tree Magic or somebody like that, somebody that's in the Yellow Pages, they all do a good job. I used many of them for 50 years that I was in business. So it's something that I don't know what it is without looking at it. But they might give you an idea or make some assessment when they come to give you a bid or something like that. So. Pay attention to them. They know what they're doing.
Well, I would hope. I've noticed that the ones over there by what used to be Albertsons at that gas station, looks like all of those have died. And I'm not sure they were getting any water at all.
It could be.
And I've noticed that several of them around town are looking sickly.
Huh. Well, get a tree surgeon over there to give you an assessment. And without me being there seeing these, I really can't be 100% with you.
Understood.
Okay?
Okay, well,
thank you for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll have more when we come back. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, 419 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAM.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It's 421, 74 degrees, Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show. The afternoon report, all the local news of the day coming up at 5 o'clock. Phone lines 673-4464. Back on now if you want to call this afternoon. I suppose now is where people are looking around more. I've mowed the lawn last Monday, I guess, is when I mowed the lawn.
Yeah.
And so second time recently, and I saw other stuff that I needed to address, but I didn't have time that particular night. And then I looked at things that it's like, I probably should have done that like in March. Some things that need to be pruned back.
Oh, okay.
So
shrubs and stuff.
Yeah, or even the tree in the backyard needs to be pulled back some.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man, it's...
You mean the tree over your roof?
The one that's sticking over a little bit of the roof. And if I were to have somebody get up there and trim it now, though, it's not a good time of the year for that.
Well, I'd wait another month or so.
Hmm.
Yeah, and when it goes into dormancy and starts dropping its leaves, it's pretty safe.
Yeah, but it's only May now. That's not going to happen until fall, right?
I know. Well, that's what I just said. When it goes into dormancy, that's the
fall.
You
said in about a month.
Well, maybe it's going to be 2 months.
We haven't even, we're just into good weather here.
Good weather? Yeah, okay. Oh, geez Louise. Well, call me in the fall. I'll see if I can help you, all right?
And by then, it'll be worse.
Well, good. I mean...
So what you're saying here is that people need to be proactive.
Yes.
Instead of waiting around and then going, oh, no, and now I can't do anything for 9 more months.
Right, exactly.
Do you feel like you've told the same script for 50 years?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I've got it down pat by now.
People want the yard to look perfect, but they don't want to have to put in the effort to make it happen.
Right, and they don't want to spend the money either. Oh, gosh. But this fall, this is a late spring cleanup thing we're talking about now. And once you've done all that cleanup, you know, you can be ready to start the vegetable garden if you are the vegetable type of person. And, you know, pick a good sunny spot in your backyard or front yard. It doesn't matter. And go ahead and get the rototiller out. And if you don't have one, you can rent one, of course, from one of the rental places. And till that garden up. And just till it until you can stick your hands down in there about 6-7 inches and it feels really soft and nice and fluffy. And if not, you want to add some new fine grind bark, you know, and some sand and maybe some compost, and then retill the whole shoot and match again a couple of times until you can actually stick your hand down there several inches and you can. And you can, and it feels good. You can tell it feels good. It's not chunky clay that the tillers. You know, Douglas County is primarily a clay soil base. I mean, it's got some clay that you can make excellent pottery out of, but it's really hard to make a garden in that kind of thing, and because it holds too much water, and then when it dries out, it is really dry, and whatever you plant, it has to be, the soil has to be amended, whether it's a tree or a vegetable seed, it has to be amended so that the root systems can be active and actually grow and get into the soil and do their thing. So like I say, when you if you can till it one time and get it kind of broken up and let it set, maybe the sun will shine on it for a while and dry it out a bit and loosens the soil. Then you till it again, and that's when you begin to add your old bark mulch, some sand, compost, anything like that, and then re-till it, and then you'll see the difference in it. It's really good. Now, do you have any houseplants? And if you do, they're also will need a shot of plant food. You know, not much, just a dab for a healthy spring start. And indoor plant food is different than outdoor plant food. It's a little milder, you might want to say. And if you want to expand your indoor plant garden, we'll take some cuttings and put them in a loose mix of sand and potting soil, and you should see new roots in 2 or 3 weeks. In other words, you've got this nice jade plant, and it's looking good, and you want another jade plant. Well, you can take cuttings from that jade plant, and they root very easily, and put them in a sunny location and some nice loose composty soil, and dip them in some root tone or something like that, and within 2 or 3 weeks they've got roots. But just let them sit there for a while, keep them damp, not saturated but damp, and after a month or so you can then transplant them into a larger pot, and they'll do very, very well. That's just one of the, you know, most of the house plants are easy to propagate. And if you make a cutting, you don't lay it to the side for 15 minutes while it sits there, you know, dry. You want to be prepared. You have your planting mix already in your containers so that when you do cut it, do the cutting from the plant that you're going to take from, then you dip it into your root tone, and then you stick it right into the new soil. And like I say, keep it damp, not saturated, but damp, and new roots will appear within, 2 to 3 weeks maximum. And they're off and going. But, and like I say, use indoor plant food. It's like different from the outdoor plant food. The outdoor stuff is a lot stronger, a bigger percentage of nitrogen and those kinds of things. Whereas with indoor plants, you want something that has a low nitrogen percentage and higher in phosphorus and potassium, because those are root builders, and they'll do well. And then you've expanded your indoor plant garden, and you'll have a lot more indoor plants, and you'll enjoy what you've done, and you can see how they will be growing, and you'll see changes from, month to month easily, but sometimes you can see under the ideal conditions, you can see new growth within a few weeks or a few days, and that you know that you did it correctly. And you just, and be careful on the water. Just keep them damp, not saturated. Saturated soil, the roots can't grow in saturated soil because there's no oxygen flow. And the root systems need oxygen. And then as they grow, you get some new pots, some nice pots, decorative pots, and things like that. And you can transplant them after about a year, and they'll really do well for you. And remember, cuttings that you do off your own material costs you no money. It's just a little time and a little patience. So like I say, you don't overwater, you don't fertilize those new cuttings. They'll be fine. Let them become well established, and then, like I say, transplant them into a nice pot of their own so you can put on your patio in the summertime, or just have it in the corner of your living room by a window so they're getting some light. And you know, like I say, one small piece of a plant will grow beautiful in several months. It's an amazing thing. Over the years in the nursery business, we did hundreds of thousands of cuttings not every year, but in our totality of being in the nursery business, we grew about 10,000 plants a year. And we were in the business for 30 years, so you can do the math on that. And basically, we had about a 90% success rate. There's always some that just for whatever reason don't root, that don't come out and do that. So, and when is the best time, like I say, to take cuttings? Well, now is a good time. Sunshine and warmth will produce a root system quickly and good growth. And spring, like I say, is the ideal time. But you can take cuttings about nine months of the year with fairly good success. It's not that difficult to do. And there are some things that are hard to root, and you'll soon learn about those if you're just doing cuttings on some things. And then there's some indoor plants, and you can do this with outdoor plants as well, but I'm speaking mainly of indoor stuff, that are going to root very easily. And like I say, I use the jade plant as an example, because they root very easily. You just cut them and say, grow, and stick them in the dirt, you know. But once you take the cuttings, like I say, you can fertilize them lightly with a good liquid indoor plant fertilizer. Lightly. If the directions say a tablespoon per gallon, go a teaspoon for a half a gallon or something like that. That way the plant is fed, but it's not burned up. It's not destroyed for too much fertilizer all at once. And the nutrients can penetrate the stems. Even if there are no roots, the nutrients in that fertilizer will actually penetrate the stems. And not like roots do, but somewhat. And when the plant is well rooted, you can get on a timely feeding schedule, maybe like once a month or so, and you'll have great results if you don't overdo the food and the water. And the water is the other thing that's a danger. Most plants don't like a lot of water, especially outdoor plants. I can't recall how many hundreds of times people have called me and said, I've got this shrub and we planted it 3 months ago, or a tree, and we planted it and we put good soil in there and we did this, and my first question is, how often do you water it? Oh, gosh, every day. Well, that's the problem. That particular plant could be watered once every 7 to 8 days and be sufficiently covered, and that's only in the hottest part of the summer. And because the excess water excludes the oxygen from the soil, the water takes the place of the oxygen, and so consequently that plant has no oxygen in which to breathe, and then the water actually rots the roots off. And if there's no roots, guess what? No growth. As simple as that. But folks who are not experienced in that, they think, oh, we water that thing again, water it again, water it again. You know, when I was a little kid, like, you know, 5 years old, I used to eat apples and take the seeds out and put them in the tin cans that I'd find in the garbage at my house. And I put them on my windowsill, and my mom would come in and go, what are you doing? I said, well, I put some apple seeds in there, or I put some peach seeds or whatever seeds I... And she says, oh, they won't grow, and throw them away. I said, no, let me keep them. I'll take care of them. And so she let me have those. And sometimes within, oh, gosh, a couple of weeks, there was new growth coming out of that soil. And I showed her, I see, my apple tree is coming. She said, that ain't an apple tree. That's a weed. And probably was. But to me, it was an apple tree. And I was successful. So I've been in the nursery business since I was 5 or 6. And I always loved to grow stuff. And it's a good thing, you know, to watch, you know, something like that actually come alive and grow on your windowsill in a tomato soup can, you know, that kind of thing. And I probably overwatered them a lot, so I didn't know. And like I say, when the plant is well rooted, get on a timely feeding schedule. And you'll have some great results if you don't overdo the food and the water. And the food is, like I say, fertilizer. And you want to use something that's pretty low percentage of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, and do it on a regular basis, and you're going to have success. And just remember, these things, like warmth and sunlight, any of those kinds of things that you're doing, especially the indoor types. And back, like I say, when we when we owned Wintergreen Nursery, we used to grow about 4,000 to 5,000 cuttings every year in our greenhouse. And our cutting beds were mason sand, which is clean sand, with heat cables under the flats of the plants. And we had about a 75% success overall. But on some plant cuttings, we got 90 to 95% success. It just depended on what you were putting in the ground. And then after 2 or 3 months, as they were growing in the flats, and you know, flat have 100 cuttings in it, or 90 cuttings in it, we would when they had sufficient roots, we would take them and pot up the cuttings in little pots, and give them, you know, the nice soil mix, etc. And after 4 months, the plants were large enough to sell. And we raised, like I say, thousands of plants in those greenhouses over those years. And just remember this, not all plants grow at the same rate. Some plants were slow growers, and it took them 8 or 9 months to become saleable, for crying out loud. But when they did, it was good. And we'll be back.
All right, 436-673-4464, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is 20 minutes away from 5 o'clock. The afternoon report on the way with Matt Uretsky and Douglas County's news team. A lot more ahead tonight as well. But right now in the building here, ready to answer your question, your problem, your concern. It's all about you.
Yes.
Because it's Mike Winters, the commissioner of dirt.
Boy, he makes it sound evil, you know. But if you do want to call, 673-4464 is the number, and we'll get you right on.
I think I just said that.
No, I don't care. I'm going to say it again more clearly and concisely. So
more clearly or concisely?
Yeah, you kind of mumble a lot.
It's been a very long day, and it's nowhere near over yet.
I'm sorry. I know it's not over. Okay, but I was talking about growing things and in your yard, to plant in your yard, and you know, just kind of spruce up the place. And But, you know, at the same rate, that's how we manufactured a lot of our materials at our nursery when we were running the place. But, you know, it's you can all of a sudden, it doesn't take that long to grow up 100 of something, 100 azaleas or 100 rhodies or 100 nantina, you know, those kinds of things. They root really easily. And then when they got those roots, you put them in a gallon can with some super soil. And within a year, they're beautiful. They're gorgeous. They're growing. And it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And as I drive around Old Douglas County, there are many plants in bloom right now. But the plants that are most noticeable are the rhododendrons and the azaleas, because they're blooming and they're full and they're looking really sharp. And the colors are just vibrant, and they're going to bloom like most of a month at least. And in the sun, and if not sun, it's not too long. It depends on the type of rhodie you're talking about, and there's like tens of thousands of types of rhodies. But in the shade or part shade, they're going to do really, really well for you. And this place, Douglas County, is like heaven to plants. I mean, you stick a stick in the ground and somehow it grows leaves on it, and you go, wow, what happened there? But there's good. But for, say, a great view of wild rhodies in bloom, drive up the North Umpqua, and when you pass Steamboat, you'll begin to see rhodies in bloom. They'll be stuck up into the timber, and the higher you go, the more you're going to see, for the most part. They're blooming red as a native rhodie. But what is interesting is that they are covered in snow for 4 to 5 months in the winter and come out strong for the spring. And I never have been able to understand why people would buy a good-looking rhodie at our nursery and take it home and call us in a month and say that rhodie died. Well, shoot, we had been growing it for 2 years and we had no problems with it. But then I play, you know, detective gardener and say, well, how often you water, how often you fertilize, what kind of fertilizer? And they would give me honest answers. And I say, well, number one, you're watering too much. Number two, that's the wrong kind of fertilizer and you give them too much and just kind of half strength of all what you're doing, and you can start over again. And gosh, of all the problems that we ever had with clients and plants, was the overwatering and over-fertilization, or because they oftentimes they can, you don't need to even fertilize and they'll live. They may not be lush and strong and gorgeous, but they'll live with what nutrition is actually in the soil itself. So it's the overwatering that's the big killer. And that's always the first question I ask a client. Well, how often are you watering? Oh, when we water every day, or we water, and or how long of a time every day? Oh, 20 minutes, you know. And I think that's gallons and gallons and gallons of water. And if you, like I say, we got a clay base of soil in Douglas County, it doesn't drain well. It just sits there. It doesn't breathe. So consequently, the plant dies. But anyway. But the rhodies, like I say, up the North Umpqua, that's very, very porous, kind of a pumice mix soil. And so if they get 4 or 5 feet of snow or 6 feet of snow, and they're dormant anyway, but when the spring rolls around and the snow begins to melt, that the water from the snow melt drains right through that porous, pumice soil and gets down into the water table. Or runs down the hill and gets into Steamboat Creek or something like that. And when you can go up there this time of year, May, June, and you'll see a beautiful display of rhododendrons in bloom. And there are other things that are blooming as well. There can be dogwoods, lots of dogwoods up the North Umpqua too, white flowering ones. And they're pretty extensive till you get, oh, within 10 miles of Diamond Lake, the dogwoods kind of stop. It's that transition period into severe weather, severe cold and things like that, and bad soil that they don't do well in. But It's a real education. If you've never gone up the North Umpqua in the springtime and maybe even got off on one of those side roads, you know, a nice logging road, drive up there slowly, get a place to park and walk around and look at some of this stuff and feel the soil and see what the consistency of the soil is. And if you can duplicate that in your yard, you're going to have success. It's well drained. It's got good material in it from years of decomposition, and it's rich. It's good, but here in Douglas County, like I say, the clay soil is a real bear to plant in. And I always tell people, if it's clay, dig it out, make it a bigger hole than the plant pot, and put the clay soil over in a corner of the yard and fill the hole with good potting soil, with maybe a little bit, like I say, a little bit of bark mixed into it, a little bit of sand mixed into it, so it has good drainage. And then even mound it up a little bit, maybe 3 or 4 inches above your surrounding ground, and it will settle in after a year in the ground. It'll settle in and almost be level with the surrounding ground, so it won't look weird or anything like that. But it will live because it has good drainage. But roadies, you know, getting back to the roadies, they are amazing. They're so durable, and it always amazes me that people can kill them in their yard. You know, usually, like I said, too much water in the clay ground and blah, 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 doesn't do anything. But, you know, one client called me, oh gosh, years ago, and she says, I have these windows all along the side of my house, and we planted these roadies X amount of years ago, but now they're now we did it for some kind of a privacy, but now they're 8 feet tall and very few leaves except red at the top. And I thought, okay. She said, we'd like you to come out, take them out, and we'll plant some shrubbery that will work in that spot. Okay, so we get out there, and I look at these things, and I go, oh, my gosh. And I couldn't bear to throw them away because the stems were green all the way down. So what we did, we cut them, maybe 2.5 feet tall. That's all they were. And then we dug a big hole, a big ball, and we loaded them in the truck. I took them to the nursery, and the ball, the root ball, was fairly large. And so I got some really big pots and stuck them out back where nobody would see them. And there was no leaves or very few leaves on them. I had 9 of them, I believe. And stuck them in pure bark and in the part shade, and watered them and fertilized them. And, you know, and within, oh gosh, I would say within 3 months, new leaves had appeared off the stems, and they were really looking sharp. And I thought, we'll see. But that fall, they formed flower buds. So I brought them up front. There was, like I say, 9 of them, and they were, by that time, they were gorgeous. They're looking great. Just really, wow, look at that. And I put a very healthy price on them. I think I put $250 a piece on them, but they were worth it. And some gentleman came in with a truck one day, took a look at them, bought them all, and took them home. And I thought, well, we scored really well on that thing. But they were, like I say, severely pruned, and the roots were, you know, somewhat decimated when we dug the plant. But there was enough roots to make it live. And of course, I gave it vitamins and all that for almost a year, and really pumped them up, so they were good. And we will be back, won't we? Okay.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
As you heard back there, Mike, this Saturday, it's the Master Gardeners Plant and Garden Show out at the fairgrounds. A lot of things going on with that.
I know. I like to go to those things. I learn.
No, at your age?
Yes, I learn. Every day I learn more things.
Wow.
Yeah. So there.
And I thought you knew it all.
No, not quite. Not there yet. Oh, anyway, I've been talking about how not to kill rhododendrons and things like that when you transplant them. And, you know, over the years in our landscaping, you know, projects, we planted thousands of rhodies, like in pure old bark and hardly ever lost a rhodie. And they just like bark and sand mixed up really well. And because it ensures good drainage and long life, and this is true really for any tree or shrub that you plant in Douglas County because of the clay soil. You can mix a little bit of clay in there, but you got to break it up so that it doesn't clog up the system. And I was doing some research on rhodies. I found that the Western Garden Book and the International Register lists more than 10,000 named varieties of rhododendrons, and it also included azaleas. And I thought, what in the world? Where do I get one of those? 10,000 varieties? Yeah, I mean, that's an amazing amount. And but I don't know where to get that international registry on rhodendrons. But I'm gonna find out, and I'm gonna get one so I can just read about them and educate myself about them. And like with plants in your yard, you take a walk around and you check them out. You know, do they look good and healthy or barely hanging on? They may need to be fertilized or pruned or new mulch, or is the area not draining? You know, there's always a list of things that you can look for. So one thing I did, I built raised beds for my vegetable garden 3 years ago. And I am very glad that I did. Working in the garden is very easy now because I don't have to kneel down in the dirt. My main box is about 30 feet long, 4 feet wide, and 2.5 feet deep. So you can just stand there and bend over and work the garden. You can plant it, you can weed it, you can do whatever you have to do and take the produce out. And you're not scrambling around in the rocks and things like that. So once in a while, I pull a weed, but not many grow in my mix because I got the part topsoil and part Douglas County old bark mix and a few other items that I threw in there, organic material. And it, like I say, it works really good. And since it's, you know, like I say, my main box is 30 feet long, 4 feet wide, and 2.5 feet deep, you can grow anything in that. And I, like I say, there's an occasional weed that appears, but not many grow in it. We don't need a shovel to dig the plants, the plant holes. I mean, we just use our hands, and everything we plant does really, really well and produces lots. I mean, I couldn't believe how many stinking tomatoes I had to eat in this past year. I had them at every meal except breakfast, and I don't eat breakfast at home, so you know what the heck. But last year's crops gave us all the veggies we could eat. And so after having gardened in the ground all those years, I recommend that raised beds are the best. They're easier to take care of. The drainage is good, and the plants really do well there.
What do you put underneath the raised bed, though? Do you just have bark mulch or dirt or gravel?
Just whatever normal soil there is. But mine are 2.5 feet deep of just good stuff, and then it hits native ground. But then none of those root systems go down that deep. I mean, they all stay on top where there's food and water.
So you really can't put like small flowers underneath?
Oh yeah, we put lots of flowers in there.
Okay.
Yeah, we put petunias in.
Because sometimes I've seen those and I understand they're practical, but they don't always aesthetically look as great.
No, but if you decorate them with a whole bunch of flowers in between your plants, your vegetable plants, it's really pretty. It looks good, and it attracts bees and other pollinators into there because of the flowers.
Mm.
And right outside of my garden, I've got a flowering cherry, and I've got a my cherry tree that's within the garden, within the fenced area. I was looking at it yesterday, and there's a ton of cherries on it. They're about as big as a BB. And they're just up and down the stem. Well, last year, it had pretty good crop of cherries, and I was going to go harvest them, and I get out there that day, and they were all gone. Something had come in and eaten them because they were just perfect to eat. I don't know what happened.
Do you have proper signage?
Yeah, I said, stay the heck out.
Okay.
Yeah. So I hope somebody listened, and I hope somebody learned.
Well, you've got another minute here.
Another minute? Oh, gosh, I can't see the clock from this angle. Well, okay, we've got a minute. Call. Ask a question. Tell me what you like. All I do, I hope that when I do this show that people get something from it, because what I try to do is combine common sense with plant knowledge and horticulture, so that you can have success at home. If you buy your plant at, I don't think Payless sells plants anymore, but they're not Payless either. But that's why I do this. I enjoy it. I hope you do too. Thank you for listening.
All right, Mike Winter's back next week at 4 o'clock. The podcast up soon at 541radio.com. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show every Wednesday on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.